I want to read from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. This is a call of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. Turn at my rebuke, and surely, he says what? I will pour out my spirit on you. We need to work together with the Holy Spirit. Walk together with him. I will make my words known to you. There's no way we can know the truth except by the Spirit of truth. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, this is the Lord speaking, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me. But listen, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, here Paul has given the instruction to the church of Corinth regarding the Lord's Supper. He says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." How many know that the Lord is merciful and gracious? Amen. How many know that the Lord is long-suffering? Yes. Very, very patient. He's more patient than we are. Aren't you glad? And it's a good thing we're not God. But God is long-suffering. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to change our minds about the direction we've been going. And in Proverbs 29 and 1, it says, "He who is often reproved or corrected and hardens his neck or rebels will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy or without healing." Now, back to our text here in Proverbs chapter 1. It says in verse 31 that because they didn't want his counsel and they despised the rebuke of the Lord, it says that they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. There is cause and effect. There are consequences for choices that we make. Would you agree? But thank God that he is gracious and that we don't get what we deserve. That's mercy. But he also gives us what we don't deserve, and that's what? Grace. And the Lord here is saying that, listen, I'm giving you lots of opportunity. I'm giving you ample time to turn. If you listen to me, if you'll turn, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. You know, sometimes the reason why we're not understanding what God is saying is because we're not listening. Do you understand? We have to first listen before we can understand. We may be hearing it with our ears, but we're not really listening. We can hear message after message with our ears and say amen, and that's good stuff, but are we listening? Are we listening to the rebuke of the Lord at times too? Why does God rebuke us? Because he's mean? No, because he loves us. He wants to pour out his spirit and he wants to reveal himself to us. Now, The Lord speaks to his people. The people who are called by his name. That's been our text here for the last couple of weeks. 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 14. But verse 14, what we're so familiar with, he says, if my people, the ones called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, right? And do what? Turn. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. And then what happens when God's people get back into right order, into right place? Then he says, I will heal their land. Amen. The land has become defiled because of sin. And not just the sins of the population, but the sins of God's people. God gave you and I dominion. God gave you and I authority to influence change in the earth realm. Okay. So because of our position, because of our place, because of our authority, what we do affects everything around us. What we do affects people that we live among, right? Because we are representatives of him. Representatives of the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. And therefore, when we rebel as his people against his word, against what he's saying, there are consequences not only in our lives, but in people that we love around us and in our society in general. Society itself is influenced by the actions of God's people. The land itself can become defiled by the actions of not the heathen, but God's people. Are you hearing me? God says the way that you're going to turn this thing around is that you, my people, return. We are comfortable in America for the most part. And sometimes comfort can be the greatest test of faith. Because when we're comfortable and things are easy and there's no persecution, we have a tendency to drift, do we not? We have to wake up and realize that we must depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit every day. It's not enough for me to do my church thing. To punch in and punch out, you know? This thing that's going on in America can be turned around. This thing that's happening in Mason County can be turned around. It's going to require God's people to obey his voice. It's going to require that you and I listen to God's voice and no other voice. It's going to require that we do exactly what he says to do and that we don't just do good things. We can't just be about doing good deeds, folks. We have to be doing the right things that God tells us to do. And sometimes God's going to challenge us by his word to do something that we feel that we're not capable of doing. Most of the time, what God tells us to do is beyond our natural capability. So we must rely upon his ability, his grace, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we are supernatural people. We serve a supernatural God. He indwells us, and so we can do supernatural things to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom, to influence change in the earth realm. But God requires his people to listen to his voice. Standing around with a sign, condemning people, pointing a finger at people, telling them you're going to hell, is not the way. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't look at the woman caught in adultery and point a condemning finger at her? Remember our Lord and his example. I don't care what the popular theology is. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus walk? How does he love? He loves people. Amen. We are called, that is our commandment, to love God and to love people. To love. When we love, it's the love of God that can break through any heart. Amen. Is it not the love of God that broke through our hearts? Through our hearts? It broke the veil over our hearts until your love broke through. It's like waking up from the longest dream. How real it seemed until your love broke through. That God first loved me. Isn't that amazing? Let's get back to the message. For God so loved the world. God first loved me. God looked past your faults. He saw your need. He saw your heart. He saw you and he said, I love you and I want you to be my own. And I'm going to go to the cross, not only to prove how much I love you, but to pay the price that you deserve to pay so that you can be mine. That's how much I love you. God demonstrated his love for us. Once we come into covenant, through the blood of Jesus. Once we become citizens of heaven, joint heirs with Jesus. Once we become his own peculiar people, zealous for good works, we have been given the responsibility and the authority to represent him properly. Are you hearing me? Because what we do as Christians, as God's people, is going to determine the direction of our society, of our nation. Folks, I've shared this with you many times, but I've been rebuked by pastors that thought that was, you know, speaking condemnation. I'm saying, listen, God gave the church the responsibility. What are we out there pointing a finger at people that don't know God and don't know any different? Trying to get them to obey the rules. Right? You got to have the rules on your heart. And you don't have the rules in your heart until Jesus breaks through. Amen? And he reveals himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And then you, out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving, like we heard in the song tonight, then we want to offer ourselves back to God. And as you got up and you just over and over, you kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's precious in the sight of the Lord when we're thankful. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And the woman that wept at Jesus' feet and, you know, cried over his feet and washed his feet with her hair and ministered to Jesus. Her sins, which were many, were washed away. She loved much because what? She was forgiven much. It's out of love that we serve God. It's out of the revelation of his love to us that we can love him anyways. You can't give God something you don't even have. We don't have love, we can't love him. It's impossible under the law to love God. To really love God, you have to know him. To love people, we've got to have the love of God in us. It's got to be shed abroad in our hearts. We've got to listen to his voice. We've got to get into alignment with what he's saying and be willing to lay our agendas aside and say, God, whatever you want for me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm in this all the way. I'm totally committed to the way forward. Amen? Amen. We're all in, man. We're going for it. There's nothing to go back over. There's no bridge to go back over. It's burned out. If my people who are called by my name, that's you and I, we're doing that. We're saying, Jesus, I'm going to take responsibility for myself. I'm going to take responsibility for my own life. Amen. I'm going to start judging myself. I'm not going to point a finger at other people. I'm going to take a look at myself. Are you with me? If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That means if we have acted improperly, we condemn our conduct And we humble ourselves. In other words, I say, you know what, Lord, it's me that needs to get fixed here. It's me. I'm the one that has drifted. I'm the one that has forgotten or left my first love. And I just need to come back. I need to get to fall in love with you all over again. Remember from where you have fallen and return. And this is the cool thing, that even in this, in 1 Corinthians 11:32, this is when we are judged. That means that not everybody is going to be judged for your sins. Let me just qualify this. If we continue to rebel against God, He is long-suffering, He's merciful, but He's also got a limit. And if we will turn in the time of His grace, in the time when God's saying, you have an opportunity now, listen to my reproof. Turn at my rebuke. And I'll pour out my spirit unto you, and I'll make my words known to you. I'll reveal myself to you. In the time when we have that opportunity, if we will say, you know what, my conduct is wrong, I repent, I'm sorry enough about it that I'm going to stop doing it because I'm sinning against God and I'm grieving His Holy Spirit. If we do that, we won't be judged. Are you with me? If we judge ourselves, we won't be what? Condemned. Now, he doesn't end there, because then he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Thank God. So as a son, as a daughter, God's saying, listen, I'm giving you an opportunity. Have you ever done this with your kids? You've given them some space, you know, to get it right. But then there's a point where you say you stepped over the line. Now there's going to be consequences for your actions. So God will chastise. And he was speaking to a church where some had become physically ill, actually, because of their actions, because they were prejudiced, because they were partial. They were despising people who had little. They were eating and being drunk, and they were taking, you know, more than their portion at the agape feast, where they got together for fellowship. And they weren't discerning the body of Christ. They were not recognizing that their brothers and sisters are family. They're equal to them in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom. You're either a son or a daughter of God, or you're not. Therefore, because they had this attitude towards others, they were judging, they were pointing the finger. There were those who were puffed up in pride, you know, because of their social status. And because of that, many are among you are weak and sickly, and even some prematurely died, had fallen asleep. Didn't say they went to hell, it says they fell asleep. So they say, take a look at your conduct. Examine yourself. Let the Holy Spirit help you with that, amen, because we're not good judges of ourselves. I'm doing pretty good in my own eyes. But when the light of Christ turns on, boy, it's just like, ooh. Yeah, like those little cockroaches, right? But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So if we exercise self-judgment, it will not be necessary for God to chasten us. Okay. Whew. How many know that God doesn't like punishing us? Does anybody here enjoy punishing your children? No. Of course not. God doesn't want to punish his children. But God loves us so much that if we continue to rebel against him, he will punish us. And in some cases, he will take us home. God always gives opportunity and space and grace for a person, one of his own, speaking to the church, to turn and get it right. Folks, God's sifting his house, shaking his house, separating the wheat from the chaff. God wants a pure people. He wants us with undivided hearts, loyal hearts to him, sold out for him, in love with him, married only to him. When they raised the cup in communion, it was a marital cup, you remember, saying, I'm married to Jesus. I'm not going to commit adultery. It's no different in America than it is in Shelton. We're just a small microcosm or a cross-section of America here. But folks, it's the people walking around with Jesus on their lips. Are you hearing me? That are bringing reproach upon his name. Because we're not taking responsibility for our actions and we're not judging ourselves. As a matter of fact, usually people who are pointing the finger at everybody else are the ones who are trying to cover something up. Uh-oh. Think about that. Sometimes when we know it ain't right with us and God, we're looking for somebody else who's a little bit worse than we are. Just so we can feel a little better about our compromise. You know, if I've got this vice, I know God says it's your body's a temple. I don't want you doing that anymore. Are you with me? We'll find somebody else that's doing something worse. But Lord, at least I'm thankful that I'm not like Joe over here. Why, I tithe, I sing in the choir, I go to church every Sunday, twice on Sunday. The responsibility for national revival is first given to the church. So we're doing it, folks, aren't we? We're here. We're consecrating ourselves. We're saying, Lord, if there's any junk in me, I want it out. If I'm away from you, I want to get back. I want to get as close to Jesus as I possibly can. I want to seek his face. I want to feel the breath of God on me. Amen? Who? And I want to walk in his righteousness. I want to be clothed in Jesus. Amen? When you're clothed in his righteousness, you're not preoccupied anymore with unrighteousness. I'm not talking about working to be good enough tonight. I'm talking about works mentality. I'm talking about a loving relationship with Jesus, serving him out of love and gratitude, honoring him in the earth realm in the sight of men. Amen? Amen. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We've been called to light this place up. And we can't be a light if we're full of darkness. Amen? If we're allowing that. Do we know how much power we actually have in him? When we walk with Jesus, you walking into a room changes the atmosphere. They may not know what happened, but something just shifted in here. Something is... When you're really full of the light of Christ, you know, it hurts people's eyes. It stings, actually, to be around a person like that. And they may not like you, and you can't figure out what you did. You're checking your nose. Is there something hanging out of it? Or it's the light in you. The darkness does not comprehend it. But there is a language that everyone can understand. That's the language of love. When we love people, really love them, they know it. Children are especially sensitive when somebody loves them. They'll just want to be around you. They'll want to cuddle up to you because they know that you really like them. You not only love them, but you like them too. Paul said in Romans 16, verse 19, he says, "For your obedience has become known to all." It has become known to all. "Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple or innocent concerning evil, that the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Huh. Do you see it again? "Listen to my voice," the Lord says. If I'm correcting you, don't make excuses. Don't blame Joe over there. Take responsibility for your actions. Listen to his voice. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and then he will pour himself out and reveal himself to us. And then we will truly be world changers. We'll be the light. We'll be the salt. We will affect change wherever we go. Because if we as his people, though, refuse and rebel, then we begin to bring reproach upon the name of our Lord, and it begins to influence everything in society. And society's woes, folks, and the reason why it's like it is not because evil is just abounding. It's because good people, people who are called by his name, are doing nothing about it. We have been given the authority. We have been given the tools. We've been given the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? To go and to effect change in society. Wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we move, we are world changers. We are to effect change in that place. You see, we talk about darkness like it's something that encroaches on the light. No. Darkness is a result of no light. So if we're light and light in the Lord, then wherever there's darkness, that's a good place for us to be. We were, in a sense, we were designed for the darkness. I like being in this place. I like being in Shelton. Why? Because, yeah, there's darkness here. But what better place for a light to be than where in a place where you can see God move and change things and turn things around? And you and I get to do that. I shared with you a few weeks ago the story of the young man from Harlem who was a Satanist, grew up in a Satanist family, and at a very young age, his parents invoked the demons that they had into this young man, and a dark blanket came over him. And from that day on, he said it was just like this darkness just hovered over his life. And he grew up in this environment. He began to go deep into the occult. And he began to astral travel. And in his soul, he would come up out of his body. And Satan would put him on assignments to go into different places and to speak curses over different nations and over different boroughs of New York and in different states and in different places. Wherever the devil would send him, he would go and he would curse and he would blaspheme in those places. And he said one day he was traveling in his soul over one borough, and he said he noticed a group of people in a circle holding hands, and they were praying. And he tried to speak curses over that part of the city to no avail. He couldn't do it. Do we realize how much power and influence that we have if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways? Then he will hear from heaven. Forgive, first of all, our sin. And then, consequently, the land will be healed. America can once again be a breadbasket. It can be a beautiful place. I'm not of the opinion that it's all going to hell in a handbasket, so why worry about it? It's all going to end anyways. It's all going to be burned up. How many know that if Jesus told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," he meant it? He wants us to be in position for him to effect change. It's about souls. It's about winning people to Jesus. And we get to do this. And folks, it's not work. It's not, "I'm going to go out and work today. I'm going to abide in Jesus today. I'm going to get filled, amen, and stay filled and walk in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to love. I'm going to love today. I'm going to walk in the love of Jesus. And I'm going to love people." And boy, I see love all over you, you too. But, you know, this lady over here, right? You're so full of the love of God that you're contagious. Amen. I want to hang around here, get a little closer to her because I want it to rub off on me. See, this is the reality, isn't it? It's the love of God. God hates religion. It's a walk with Jesus. God's not opposed to organization. He's not opposed to, amen? But the organization is to serve us. We're not to serve the organization. That's the difference. There are some people that are non-organizational, and you can tell. Because if you're organized, you can affect more change. You can do more when we're unified and we have a single purpose, right? So organization is a tool, but it's not what we serve. We serve the Lord. And the organization is to serve us. That's what's happened in denominationalism. Is it started out as a tool and it became the thing they're serving? "I'm Church of God. I'm Assembly of God." You know, I'm a citizen of heaven. How about you?
Yes.
And I'm with the Church of God. And it's an organization that is a tool. Amen? It's there to serve us. We're not serving it. We're serving Jesus. But we're part of an organization. Because an organization can affect more change and be more of an influence than a thousand little pockets of, you know, this rogue group here and there, all spread out everywhere, doing their own little thing, their own little huddle. If we get together and work together and have a common purpose and goal, and we let God, the Holy Spirit, direct us, man, we can do a lot more. Think about all the missions and the people that have been affected because of those who have been part of an organization.
Amen.
And no organization ever began with the intent that we're going to serve this organization. All organizations began in the fire. There's people that were just experiencing Pentecost, and God was moving, and they were excited, and they said, "You know what? We want to organize. Because if we organize..." How many know everything in heaven is organized? If you read your Bible, everything is organized. God does everything organized.
Yeah.
What happened was, somewhere, we disconnected with Jesus, and we started shifting into the organization and started serving that. And every time that happens, it begins to die. In other words, we're no longer in a movement. We're not staying in the movement of God. But we become institutionalized. So as we grow, as we go forward, we got to stay in the move of God. Stay fresh. And the organization is a tool, but it's not what we're serving. Follow the cloud, right? In the fire. Amen. All right. A lot was said tonight, but if you walk out of here tonight, I want you just to remember, folks, that let's judge ourselves. Ask the Lord. Amen. Lord, how is it really with me? I need improvement in my life. How about you? There's some areas in my life. Just a couple? Okay.
Maybe more.
As long as we stay teachable and pliable, we stay humble in the hands of God, He can continue to use us. And guess what? You're never going to be perfect. So don't wait until you're perfect to start serving Jesus, right? Serve him now. But when you walk with somebody and you love that person, you honor them, you respect them, you listen to them. You don't grieve them. So let's just move out. Move out for Jesus. Start loving and doing the things that please him and refusing to do the things that grieve his heart. Because we walk in love. We love God. That's the greatest commandment of all.